I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Man, what a comedy of errors. And here they go 0-2 for the fifth straight year. It kind of feels like the same old thing. But what's your impression or perception of them just even to start the year, Ben?
Well, they're a team that can be competitive in games, but they're not a team that's at this point capable of winning them, as evidenced by 0-2. I felt like they could have put that game away tonight, and they didn't do it, after the interception. So it's a team that has some talent, but the dreadful nature of the offensive line, part of that exacerbated, obviously, by bad injury. But, the nature of the offensive line being bad, the linebacking core isn't, where it needs to be. They're not able to get and generate a consistent pass rush. We've seen this two games in a row. So they've been susceptible to getting gashed in the pass game. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater and Taylor Heinicke combined hung, nearly 600 yards on them. So it's going to be tough going because you have an incomplete team at this point. Now, I think they're headed in the right direction, but I don't know how long the fans will have patience for that because, again, you're starting off at the season 0-2 and the prospect looks bleak.
They have been so pro Daniel Jones and his growth and the fact that he's the guy for this franchise. And it makes sense because this front office picked him and he's still a young quarterback. But at what point does patience run out or does a front office need to look somewhere else?
I think this is the season. I think this is it. Daniel Jones is playing for his future in New York. And, he's got to come out and show that he's not the reason that they're losing football games. And if that's the case, then he'll get another go around. But I think at the evaluation point right now, I don't think he's capable of being the guy that can overcome the problems that they have. And that puts them in a tough spot because there is obvious talent there, but there are mistakes as well, And so I think that Daniel Jones has basically got to play perfect football the rest of this year. And hope that's enough to be able to warrant another year's investment in him without them looking elsewhere.
Hmm. As for the quarterback situation in Washington, you mentioned it. Taylor Heinicke gets a second career start. Show some flashes. You can tell the guys are comfortable with him. There's been this idea that he's actually competing for this starting job with Ryan Fitzpatrick on the bench. When you see, though, what he offers, is he close? Could they ride through the season with him?
I think they're going to have to, at least until obviously he's back. You look at what he's able to do, and certainly the yardage is there, and he's able to help get that offense and put some points on the board. But the passing early was high. He was very obviously nervous. He's going to have to calm down overall. Like, he's got the job. You've got the job, buddy. It's time to just not mess it up. And, early on in the game, it seemed like he was, kind of doing that a little bit. So, there's some talent there. I think Taylor Heinicke is a spot start level, player, meaning, he's got a bright future as a career backup ahead of him. The question is, can he play himself into a starting role? And, that's really where we're at with this is, despite limited tools and, and everything else, he's there. Can he play himself now into a starting job?
People ask me all the time about the NFC East, which I have affectionately labeled the soap opera of the NFL. And I'll just be honest, before the season started, I said it's a wide open competition, any team except Philadelphia. And then, of course, the Eagles go out and blast the Falcons. But what is your idea about the NFC East and how it might shape up this season?
Well, I think Washington is the favorite, although Dallas has got to be, you know, sniffing around that a little bit. The Giants are just an incomplete football team. They're building in the right direction, but they're still a year away. And then as far as the Eagles go, they might be the worst team in the division. Yeah, they went out there and blasted the Falcons, but, you know, 13 of Jalen Hurts' completions were behind the line of scrimmage, and that is not something that's sustainable overall. The numbers look pretty, but the reality is football people are like, ah, okay, I cheat two safeties down in the box, and this dude's done for. So I think we'll see Jalen Hurts return to norm here in the next couple of weeks.
Benjamin Albright is with us from Denver. A Broncos insider covers the NFL on KOA in Denver. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We had a chance to see the first of Teddy Bridgewater starting for the Broncos. And as you mentioned, it's against the Giants. And so maybe things look a little better. But what did the team and the coaching staff think about him after week one?
Well, I think it was pretty positive. You know, I think people around here, maybe last year, they were drinking that Mountain Dew, and this year they're water guys. I think that Teddy came out and did exactly what he had to do. I've been skeptical. You know, I've been skeptical of Teddy Bridgewater because I'm like, look, this is the fifth team. Four other teams gave up on him. The Carolina Panthers basically paid the Broncos to take him off their hands. It's not been great overall. Teddy's been serviceable, but really not good or great at very many points in his career. And what I said before the season was that Teddy Bridgewater is going to have to play the best he's ever played. Well, he came out and did that week one. I've moved the needle from skeptical to cautiously optimistic, and we'll see where the needle goes from there.
Why have I never heard the term Mountain Dew? What is wrong with my life that I've been so sheltered I've not heard Mountain Dew?
I you know what? It's a delicious beverage, but I'm more of a water guy now.
That's funny. Also funny, I like Dr. Pepper, but I don't think that fits into the equation anywhere. So it's just Mountain Dew.
Maybe there, Jabril Peppers, if he can get a doctor.
Nice. Very nice. You're so quick on your feet. Benjamin Albright is with us from Denver here on CBS Sports Radio. Huge game coming up this weekend between the Chiefs and the Ravens. And the Ravens had so many opportunities in that Monday night game against, almost at Oakland, Las Vegas to close them out. They had multiple leads in the fourth quarter, couldn't do it. Of course, losing the ball in overtime and giving it right back to Derek Carr and the Raiders. They've had so many injuries already, too. How do they stay afloat now with this game against Kansas City?
Yeah, they're in real danger starting 0-2. I think the Ravens need to play to their strengths and play to their advantage. Quit trying to match up, you know, as it is with other teams. I think what they need to do is forget those forget all the norms and go with what works. And what works for them is going heavy, going power. Put three tight ends on the field, put two running backs on the field. Force defenses to get heavier in their packages, and that allows you to take advantage of the legs of Lamar Jackson, the speed of Lamar Jackson. You know, the more linebackers you have on the field, the less likely somebody is to catch him. So, you know, I think the Ravens need to shake it up a little bit and go against the norms and play to what it is, because their offensive line isn't as good as it used to be. Obviously, the run game has suffered a huge hit with most of their backs out or gone. And so it really is a setup and a scenario where you're going to have to rely on Lamar Jackson. He's not the world's greatest passer. And so you're going to have to kind of play to his strengths, play to the advantage that he has with his legs. Put one receiver out there. Put Marquise Brown out there. Go with two tight ends and two backs and get out there, run around, and let Brown shake free and play sandlot football and hope it works.
We've seen some pretty serious injuries already in week one and then plus this one game. What are a few that you look at and think, oh, man, the teams can't really overcome those?
Well, that Minnesota secondary is we'll call it a secondary to be charitable. I don't know really what to call it. It's bad. And the Cincinnati Bengals tried to give them the game with that fourth down conversion. It didn't work late in the game. And you know, I still found a way to snatch the Vikings found a way to snatch defeat from the jaws of imminent victory. So, I think that's one of the things that stood out to me as being horrendous this past week. You look around the league, there were some other things that kind of jumped out at you a little bit. But overall, that was the one that did kind of shock me. A Mike Zimmer defense that looked bad.
Mm. Also, the Green Bay offense and just Green Bay in general looked pretty putrid as well. I can't imagine that's going to happen again because it's really about the same team that we saw go 13-3 the last couple of seasons. But, of course, everyone's now piling on, even some of Aaron Rodgers' former teammates. He's not into it. He's not interested. He's just going through the motions. What have you heard?
Well, I think Aaron Rodgers doesn't want that stain on his resume. He's a competitor, and I don't think that saying that he's not interested is probably not accurate. I would say that, you know, he's got a little rust because of the stuff this offseason where he didn't really work as much. Not interested. I'm not going to believe that. You know, but string together three or four games like that, then we'll start talking about that. But I don't want to be overreaction guy after 1 week.
Well, come on now. That's the fun of it. Is to overreact after 1 week.
But it's the same thing here with Teddy Bridgewater. Like, they're ready to put him in Canton. And I'm like, look, you know, we had a great first date. I'm not trying to put a ring on it, you know? Like, you have the first date and it goes well, then you go on and you have a few more dates. And you're like, all right, let's make this thing a relationship, you know? Let's go through the year. And then after that, then you start looking at the marriage portion of it. You know, you don't want to sit there. I mean, how many great first dates have you had that turned into terrible second and third dates? So, let's pump the brakes a little bit after week one and see how it goes.
Now, see, I'm more the get out after the bad first date. If it's a bad first date, I'm not sure I even give it a second date. So at least Teddy Bridgewater has that. It depends on how nicely he asks. If the date's really bad.
I made it back as a return guest on the show.
So far, you're impressive. The dates have gone well, Benjamin. I think you're fine. Albright, we're just going to call him that now, is with us from Denver here on CBS Sports Radio. The question marks coming out of that first week, as you mentioned, people overreact to them. But what are a couple that are actually, in your mind, at least semi-serious questions after what you saw in the season openers?
Well, you know, we talked about Minnesota, obviously. There's some serious questions there. I don't know if Mike Zimmer's going to make it through. We go up to Chicago and look at that offense. I don't think it's entirely on the offense. I think that Chicago team is actually bad. I think they've got two or three pieces left over from a great defense, and they're hobbling through with that. I think they need a total rebuild. Something that stood out to me was the Jameis Winston situation. Guy throws five touchdowns, but only threw for like a .180 through the air. That interests me a little bit in how sustainable is that scoring production with the Saints, especially against the Green Bay team that just looked like they didn't bother to show up. So, those are some of the things that really kind of jumped out at me. And I'm kind of curious with this Carolina thing, which way it goes. Was Sam Darnold really the guy that was that much better in that game? Or is he going to return to the mean, you know, the guy we saw with, in New York that wasn't all that great they moved on from?
Well, you mentioned Chicago. If they're a bad team, and granted, they don't want Justin Fields to get killed, but how long can they keep him on the sidelines?
Well, you know, everybody disagrees with me on this, but I think it's a smart move, at least from the front office perspective, to keep him on the sidelines, because that offensive line is atrocious. And, from what I've understood talking to people up there, he's not 100% up to speed on reading defenses, reading the field, and that kind of stuff. His athleticism helps compensate for that. But, I don't put him out there and RG3 him, you know? Don't put him out there and David Carr him, you know? Let him get comfortable back. You got all the time in the world with him. If he really is the future and he's the franchise, you don't have to play him right now. This coaching staff's not going to be there next year. The front office might not be there next year. So if you're a coach, you're probably throwing out there to try to save your bacon. But if you're the front office, you don't want him out there right now. You're saving him for the next coaching staff.
It's kind of funny that the refrain, I feel like, for a lot of fans and really for a lot of analysts after week one is bad offensive lines. I mean, there are a lot of them, let's be honest. There are a bunch of them that are still coming together that won't be bad, but there are just some flat out really terrible offensive lines. Where are the good ones, Benjamin? Let's talk about the good offensive lines just for a change. Where are the best ones?
Well, I think you got to count New Orleans, in that mix. Denver didn't look half bad, although they weren't getting much push in the run game. The pass protection was pretty good. The rebuilt offensive line in Kansas City looks like it's on the cusp of something. It's still got some moments, but it could be something when they all gel together. I think those are some of the best lines. And you know what surprised me? The offensive line in Jacksonville, they only gave up one sack in that beatdown they got from the Houston LOL Texans, a franchise I picked to lose all 17 games and the bye week.
Did you? Wow, the bye week even.
Well, I mean, the Texans, we were talking about how bad the Texans were going to be, all time historically bad, and then they come out and put a beatdown on the Jaguars in week one. But, you know, it's a lone bright spot for the Jaguars. They only gave them one sack.
Well, they could end up pulling a Jacksonville from 2020 and win the opener and then lose the next, well, it would be 16 now, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I was actually having that discussion with my radio partner, and I said that's probably what happens. They come out and put out this glorious week one beatdown to take sole possession of the AFC South. Yeah, they're in first right now, and then lose the rest of them.
Benjamin Albright is a Broncos insider, also covers the rest of the NFL, and is with us from Denver here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Speaking of Jacksonville, there's this talk that Urban Meyer might be interested already in bolting back to college and the USC job being open, which I think is ridiculous, that particular rumor and speculation. But after training camp preseason, there has been some rumblings about whether or not he's a fit. What do you think about the situation in Jacksonville?
Well, I think Urban Meyer's too proud to bolt Jacksonville this early, especially with Lou. He's had success, you know, everywhere he's been, and I think he's too proud to have that stain on his resume. You know, Nick Saban, for all his brilliance, for all the championships he's won at Alabama and LSU and all this kind of stuff, does have that one thing on his resume where he failed with the Miami Dolphins, and I think Urban Meyer doesn't want that. I think he's too proud and too, for lack of a better term, arrogant to walk away with that being what it is right now. So, you know, I don't think Urban wants to leave. Do I think he's a fit for the NFL? Well, he didn't look like it in week one. We'll see. You know, I don't want to be overreaction guy.
That's right.
But,
that's right.
You know, I think it didn't look good in week one, and it was shocking how bad they looked, honestly, overall. There's been another rumor out there about Eric Bieniemy leaving for the USC job. Then Adam Schefter put that out. It's so weird because I love Adam's reporting, and he's one of the best in the world at it, but I'm told that Eric Bieniemy's not even going to get an interview at USC, much less the job.
Just out of curiosity, would that be a job that you think would be worth bolting for after all these interviews he's done in the NFL? Because when I saw that headline, my reaction was like, wait a minute, he's been so close to getting an NFL job. Why would he give up on that now, especially when he's part of a team that could challenge for another Super Bowl?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't think he's as close to getting NFL jobs as people think. There's a lot going on behind the scenes, and the public is you know, just like, well, why is this guy not getting the job? And I'm like, usually if a guy keeps going for jobs and doesn't get it, there's probably something there you don't know about. You know what I mean? So I don't want to get into all that on the air, but like there are things behind the scenes there that he's gone into interviews and quote unquote not been prepared, that kind of stuff. And you know, we'll see. Maybe he gets a job and he does brilliantly. But I'll say that his last gig as an offensive coordinator before Kansas City, where Andy Reid is the offensive coordinator, you know, at the University of Colorado, he was spectacularly bad. And so, you know, I don't want to, you know, people look at that, they look at that resume, and I think that plays more into it than anything else. Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes make Kansas City go, not Eric Bieniemy. They won't miss a beat if he's gone. So, you know, I we'll see. So maybe he gets a head coaching job, proves me totally wrong, but as it sits right now, I think a lot of people have kind of deluded themselves by not taking the whole picture into account.
So Kansas City, Baltimore is clearly, if not the game of the week, one that's going to get a lot of attention. What's another game with a lot of pressure for one or both of the teams that really intrigues you in week two?
Well, you know, I don't think Jacksonville wants to start 0-2, especially with a softer division they're in. I think the Colts are under a lot of pressure. I think Jacksonville's under a lot of pressure. I think there's a lot of teams that are looking at the prospect of starting 0-2 in September. And that's a bad place to be. Once you get to like 0-3 or you know or 1-3, those are bad positions to be in. Statistically, most of those teams don't make the playoffs. Something like 88% of teams that start that clip don't make the playoffs. So I think if you're the Colts or you're Jacksonville and you really thought you had a shot this year because Tennessee's somewhat diminished and they've got Todd Downing running the offense, who somehow, I still can't figure this out, had Derrick Henry in the backfield and ran two play-action passes the entire game last week. It was spectacularly bad in his last stint as an OC with the Raiders. I think if you're one of those two teams, you got to feel like you got a shot. You got to win football games. And, you know, they both lost week one, so I think that's where the most pressure is.
It is kind of fun to see people try to do the math about how having a 17th game changes the percentages. That's been highly amusing to start the year.
Yeah, I just keep forgetting there's a 17th game, so I keep just saying stupid stuff like 8-8 and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But you know how us radio dummies are. So.
Oh, yes, such a dummy you are. Okay. Oh, I didn't even mean that. Now people are going to think I'm mean. I know you thought I was joking, but people take me seriously. Apparently sarcasm doesn't translate quite as well on the radio as I mean it to most of the time. So you can find...
Well,
Yes.
Yeah, unfollow me at Albright NFL.
No, stop. Yeah, that's what she was going to say. It was such a terrible date. Again, you can find him on Twitter at Albright NFL. Host, reporter, analyst, insider. He does it all for the Broncos flagship KOA Colorado, and we love to have him on the show. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. Anytime.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.